You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yes, we're going to use our half-off offer. It's now half-off, not 2022 half-off, just the phrase half-off. And my annual forecast model is still up there. I'm getting some interest in that because so far it's been on track here, and it covers all the major markets, not just the Dow Jones or the S&P, but, you know, copper, gold, silver, uranium, Bitcoin, all kinds of fun stuff. So you get 50% off if you go to VRTrader.com and sign up and use the half-off promo code. And of course, you can buy any of the other newsletters there as well, including one of my favorites, the blockchain letter, which we can talk about a little bit. We talked about that last week. I still think that's a big area. So, and also, I generally make that disclosure. I'm a newsletter publisher. I'm not a financial advisor.
So how would you describe what's going on in the stock markets right now?
Perfectly in line with expectations. Our models indicated that we talk about seasonal patterns in the market, and most analysts just discuss earnings projections and what the Fed is going to do or not do, or, you know, what tariffs are going to be levied or not levied. But meanwhile, the forecast I've been making since we've been making these broadcast since December was watch out for the third week of March and the probability that we would market would be down into that point. And if you recall, I made comparisons back to the COVID low of March 20th, 2020. And I said, you know, well, you can end up having another low point in this time frame. And sure enough, here we are. In fact, on top of that, so if you look in the skies above you, you got a full moon on top of everything else. Sometimes there's a little bit of lunacy, as they say, around the moons. So, you know, you might have a little extreme sentiment here. The fear-greed ratio report that comes out from CNN every night is way down there in the low teens, which is extreme bearish sentiment, which is usually overall bullish. It doesn't mean it turns on a dime. And I'm not saying the market's going to explode to the upside tomorrow, though it could. But, you know, we were in that time frame, which we expected weakness. And my feeling is we're going well into new highs this year if you're looking at the major indexes. So any, you know, weakness, you know, you see now or in the next month or two, you know, we're waiting for technical confirmation of the bottom. We have a cyclical confirmation that we're in the time frame, so we'll just have to wait for the reversal pattern and when it comes. But I, you know, basically, you know, I see stocks like Costco, which I, in fact, I'm going to be going to go shop later today after I have another appointment. You know, stocks down from 1,078 a share down to 878 a share. 200-point drop here in the last month or so. So that's a nice 20% correction in a very positive company and market. You know, again, if you're a trader or investor, you got to decide what your strategy is. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there which is offering opportunity. And, of course, the big correction in Tesla. And now the riots against Tesla and all that nonsense, you know, and I'm not worried too much. In fact, Elon Musk was talking about doubling production of the Teslas in the U.S. this year. So whatever it takes to get that done, I'm sure it'll end up resulting in higher prices. You know, Tesla controls that market. I mean, that's the go-to car if you're into EVs, which I'm not, but if you are. So that stock's way down. It was at $480 a share. Got down to $215 a share, I think, yesterday and the day before. You know, maybe it'll go under that a little bit. But, you know, you never get at the exact bottoms on this stuff if you're investing. If you're trading the way I do, sometimes you're in and out and trading along the way. But, you know, that's just another example of sort of bargain basement stuff is going on. But long-winded response, Jim. Yeah, market's doing what I was anticipating. I warned about this time frame, the Ides of March, you can argue about that too. Historically, a negative time frame, and it all seems to play out cyclically. So everybody's holding their breath about whether there's going to be peace in the Ukraine, and with Putin, there's some discussion about a ceasefire, and everybody's worrying about the tariffs, which I'm not. You know, I'm not even going to bring that subject up because I know we have a Canadian dispute here, but I think we got, you know, the right man in charge, so we'll just see how it all plays out. The big issue now, I think, in front of Congress, trying to get the tax cut extended so we don't run into problems. If that it does not happen and the Democrats are being obstinate, is a kind word, and that tax cut doesn't come through, you know, that could derail the market here a little bit for a little bit longer. But, you know, outside of that, I think, Democrats, I've lost a lot of credibility here in this country, I feel, the way they conducted themselves at the State of the Union address and just their general negative attitude. I think they're going to lose a lot of seats in the midterm elections coming up in a couple of years, and I think the Republicans will gain even more control here. So that should be positive if you're business-oriented. The Democrats did a worst or terrible job in managing the money of this country. So the Doge thing I'm very much supportive of with regard to Elon Musk trying to cut expenses and so forth. That only makes sense if you're running a business. You're looking to do, you know, weed out unnecessary expense. So, you know, all these things, you know, point to a market that will ultimately go higher this year. And you got to sort of pick your poison, you know, when you want to get in, or dollar cost average, or whatever strategy you like to employ. You know, we hold some core positions and we trade accordingly. One other stock I did want to bring up, I did mention a couple of names, is they nailed Disney. And, you know, it's a woke situation, unfortunately. The story came out that basically they don't like the characterization of Snow White in the Snow White film. This is a remake of the 1937 classic animation, which is one of my favorite films. And it was the film that turned the Disney company around back then in the late 1930s. Actually, that was a make-or-break situation for Disney. And it's the really biggest film, you know, of all time for them. And now they decided to do a real-life version of it. And they didn't put the right ethnic character in the role of Snow White. It wasn't what Snow White was like in the original film, and that's creating a lot of pushback. And I'm surprised, because the company's been woke for a couple of years. And as you know, they had a big dispute with the governor of Florida and all kinds of fun stuff going on. But I was surprised that, despite the fact they've already demonstrated their woke position, that wouldn't affect the stock the way it did here the last few days. So it dropped all the way down about $95 a share. It was in the around 115, 120. So I don't know how that's all going to play out. I guess the company's being mismanaged. Some of their films are not doing well, which has been a big, you know, staple for them over the decades, even though the theme parks are big. So, I'm a big Disney follower, and I've been involved, you know, in the stock for many years. So I just want to bring that up. You know, I still think the stock is a buy at some point. It's oversold here, but I just thought it's interesting. I think the premiere for the Snow White film was just about, you know, coming up. I think it was March 21st, right on the vernal equinox, if I'm not mistaken, exactly on that date. So we'll see if that turns around. But just interesting, both from a trading point of view and from a political point of view.
What's going on with gold and silver?
New highs in gold today. Can't complain about that. Just under that 3,000 number. I don't have the exact number for me. Was it 29.98 or 99? Looking at the screen today, so a little bit higher than it had been. So it's a breakout. Silver is not into new highs, but has been popping up here a little bit, and some of the small silver stocks started to move here. So we're in them all. You know, I felt like, you know, this February time frame might hit indicate a little trading top. We pulled back a little bit. Now here we're off to the races again. Seasonally, we generally top out this time of year and pull back into the summer and then go up again. But, you know, we traded a bit, and we are long the shares and gold here. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that we don't get caught in a correction into the summer. But keep in mind that a lot of the strength in gold was a result of the Hamas-Israeli conflict, and that's when it really started to take off. And, the sort of common sense view is, of course, there are other reasons why gold would go up, and we can talk about that in a second. But, if that situation is placated, and now Putin apparently is talking about possibly agreeing to some type of truce in Ukraine, the reasons to own gold aren't as strong as they were, last year. Though there are other reasons, like this story, as you probably read, that, Elon Musk and Trump want to go into Fort Knox and check to see if the gold's really there. But, it's only my personal opinion. I don't think it is. I think they've covered it up. This is like, talking about the plunge protection team or the equity stabilization fund or the secret moves of the Federal Reserve, all kinds of shenanigans that unfortunately the government has and continues to be involved in. Maybe Trump will straighten that out, maybe not. But, I know they did a way back in the 70s, 1970s, I believe it was, they went into Fort Knox, they brought the cameras in, and they went, it's like, I don't know how many, dozens and dozens of vaults in Fort Knox. If you look at the map of how it's constructed, they went to one vault, they opened one door, they looked at just some gold and say, okay, the gold's here, but what about all the other vaults? And apparently the new Secretary of the Treasury here in the U.S. came out with a comment the other day which worries me. He says, well, everything is okay. And then I think a former U.S. Treasury Secretary came out a day or two later saying, you don't have to check it, everything is okay there. So that's a cover-up. There's obviously something wrong, and if and when they can ever get in there, they may not even let them in, but if they ever get in there and you find out the gold's not there, what do you think gold's going to do? It's going to explode. So maybe they don't want it to go up so big, or maybe the gold really is there and they're covering it up for other reasons, but it's a real interesting story unfolding, and, the way the government covers up secrets, including, things like the John F. Kennedy assassination and the UFO phenomenon and a lot of stuff over the decades. I'll be sort of pleasantly surprised, if not shocked, that they actually get into Fort Knox and check it.
Mark, are people concerned that when Germany asked for the gold that had been stored in the U.S., when they got their gold back, they found the bars were tungsten, just plated with gold? Any concerns that if people look in Fort Knox, that what they're looking at aren't actually pure gold bars?
Correct, and you have to do an assay on each of the bars, and it's a big, big job, and I don't know if it's ever going to happen or be permitted to happen, and yeah, this is a big, big risk. I mean, even in the industry now, people are warning you when you buy old coins or bars or any precious metal, there's a lot of fraud around, and you could get a bad coin, and you really got to know the dealer that you're dealing with, and you got to be a bit of an expert when you observe handle the coin to make sure you're getting the real thing. There's a lot of fraud, and unfortunately, the story's been around a long time about the gold not being in Fort Knox, and maybe it's either stolen or maybe not the real stuff. And I'm a bit of a cynic, because I know the government has covered up so many stories over the years. We've talked about those in the past, so anything is possible. But if we want to be optimistic, and they let Elon Musk and Trump in there, and they can go to every vault, there's dozens of them there, and really check and assay the gold, then I'm wrong. But if it turns out that, and I don't think they'll let them in, but if they let them in and find out the gold's not there, or as you say, tungsten or something like that, I mean, gold's going to explode. I mean, gold will be $5,000 an ounce, or God knows, even higher prices, because if the gold's not really there, the shortage is even greater, and it'll be one of the biggest bull explosions of all time. It's the largest holder of gold in the world suddenly doesn't have the gold. So I guess you got to hold gold just on the outside chance that the gold's not really in Fort Knox.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with cryptocurrencies?
Well, they're still chopping around here. They had a bit of a correction, and Bitcoin's retesting the recent lows. It pulled back from 107 to about 78,000, and now it's just trading around that same level up to 80 back and forth. I was looking for 73,000, 74,000, if you recall. So whether we'll go there or not, but I was looking for, you know, a bit of a correction here, and it falls into the same time frame as the overall market. You know, what my models were saying, you could watch out for a first quarter correction here, but there's so much going on. I mean, I've been just talking my ears off about this past week, but basically, you know, the government here is planning on, you know, a crypto reserve and then another reserve for other coins. They call them altcoins because they're not Bitcoin, and mostly of all the coins the government has in their possession now, which I'm reading is about 200,000 Bitcoins. It's worth, you know, billions of dollars, but they have hoped to obtain more through any, you know, illegal activities or confiscations, the things that come the government's way, rather than going out and physically buying the coins. But they want to set up a reserve. But the big thing is getting the legislation through. There has to be laws and order to the whole process. So Trump's been talking about it, but it's going to probably, honestly, it could take between now and the summer of next year before all the legislation that's needed to really get this thing going and get the reserve functional and get all the procedures in place underway. So I suppose they're going to be chopping around quite a bit in between now and then. So some analysts think it'll take off well ahead of that time frame. So you got to be patient, but you also got to be looking to buy on weakness. And some of these coins are really cheap. And, you know, you just have to take a long-term view, you know, dollar cost averaging. Don't put all your money in at one point. But I think you should have a, just like gold, you know, have like a 5% allocation in the crypto space. There's some several coins we mentioned in our blockchain letter, which you should have positions in. You know, Bitcoin is not my first choice because it's so expensive. I mean, the leverage on Bitcoin, unless it's going to $1 million, which some people say it could happen. I don't think it's going that high, but it could, you know, in 5 or 10 years, perhaps, because, you know, the supply of Bitcoin is limited and it's halved every you know, it could to get some astronomical number down the road. I mean, you know, who knows, you know, when Bitcoin was trading at $50 or $200, that it would ever get to 107,000. So anything is possible, I guess, but the leverage, I don't think, is as much in Bitcoin as it is some of these other coins. I would encourage the listeners, I know it's self-serving, but, you know, sign up for the blockchain letter and you can see the list of the coins and what our commentary about them, and you know, our expectations are really positive. So I suppose if, you know, Trump's not in the White House or something changes politically in this country that would deter the creation of the Bitcoin and the altcoin reserve, then things could change. But I'm pretty optimistic from what I'm hearing and reading. So, and then if you remember, even the BRIC nations were talking about, there was some story about them using the coins, one of the smaller coins, as part of their process. I don't want to mention names. It's named in the newsletter. But, you know, there's been talk about that. So I think there's a worldwide interest in having, you know, digital currency tied to many of these cryptos. So, and you got to be cautious because, you know, I think there's 7,000 or 8,000 out there, and there are a lot of phony coins. It's sort of funny, even Donald Trump and his wife Melania created a coin named after themselves. I think they call it a meme coin, which is, it does trade and it has some value to it, but that wouldn't be my first choice. If I was going to go for something wild, I'd probably go for Elon Musk's Dogecoin, which is, you know, trading around 20 cents. I think it was high as 80 or 90 cents a couple of years ago. But if he's still around doing his thing, and I know he loved Dogecoin a couple of years ago when they created it. It's funny, this whole investigation into the U.S. Finances is called Doge, which is sort of funny since he had a coin already by that name. I finally refer to it as the doggy coin because it's spelled D-O-G-E, and when you see pictures of the coin, that, you know, it's not a physical coin like other coins, but the physical representation of it, they show a Shima Inu dog. I'm pronouncing it right, the Shima Inu dog, the cute little Japanese dog on the cover of a little coin, and that's supposed to be a representation of the Doge coin. So I always get a kick out of that since I'm a dog lover, but that's sort of a funny side story there about the coins. But yeah, to answer your question, be a buyer on pullbacks. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. And I think if things trade the way I think they will over the next year or so, there should be, you know, potentially substantial gains. I'm not talking like 10% on your money or 20%. I mean, it could be 100%, 200%, 300% type returns in some of these coins. I mean, one, for example, XRP was about 40 cents about 8 months ago, and it got up to 350, and now it's around 220. And that, look at the gain that had just in the last year, and that's just a low price speculation, according to some. But, you know, how do we know it's not going to go, you know, back to $1.50 and then go to 5 or 6? We've seen it in some of the other coins. We saw it happen to Bitcoin. So, you know, you're riding the momentum of a new process, you know, a new investment opportunity. That's what this is all about. You know, when cannabis came along, nobody believed that, and it had took off big, and of course it's had its problems. But, you know, each dog has its day, and cannabis could turn around too at some point if the legislation gets straightened out there here in the U.S. So, you know, it's just another investment vehicle to take a look at.
There's going to be a so-called blood moon eclipse tonight. Will you be watching?
I will. It's a total eclipse of the moon. It's a full, they call it a full worm moon, W-O-R-M. And it's something you could watch tonight, depending on what time zone you're in. There's also some minor G1 class geomagnetic storms likely here as well, according to the spaceweather.com website. Earth's passing through a what they call a magnetized stream of solar wind, so high altitude observers should be alert for auroras and stuff that you could probably see. But yes, along with that, and then we've got the full moon occurring, you know, obviously at the same time as this eclipse. So yeah, a lot of geocosmic events happening right here. It's a real interesting time.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at HowStreet. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.